I started 8 years ago when the offices were on Old Street. An entire wall of the office, a huge long wall of the office, was devoted to this print archive, with boxes listed under subject and region.
Sophie Wright, Cultural and Printroom Director at Magnum in London.
And people could still go in and pick a box up and search through it. And in those boxes were some really very, valuable prints, actually. I think they pulled the Gaarsan-Hussar Cartier-Bresson from it when we were organising it, when we were decommissioning, in a way, the print archive. That happened about 6 years ago.
What was decommissioning the print archive?
The majority of Magnum's business has moved to digital, as have all archives. And so we basically ended up going through all the boxes and separating out silver gelatin from resin-based prints, returning quite a lot of the really valuable prints if the photographers needed them to the photographers. And our current status is that in London, and this is London I'm talking about, in London we have a space, we have a cold store where we have the silver gelatin prints, which are just literally organised by photographer now. The subject matter, all of that is out the window. And we have another room where we have all the colour negatives, which I didn't mention, all the colour negatives, the dupes, and the resin prints.
Hi, I'm here to see Fiona.
Nice to meet you. How are you?
Very well.
What did you?
Well,
what do you want to do?
I
Tell me
quite like
your.
to see the archive. So I spoke to Sophie last week, and she explained the general setup. So I suppose I just wanted to see what its physical incarnation was, if there is something I can look
Yes,
at.
there is. Do you just want to come
Just
through and have a look?
So
part of the archive is in here. This is mostly the resin prints.
I hear air conditioning.
Yeah, the sound of that makes a lot of noise, and it is temperature controlled, but we've got it turned off in here because it's just they're just resin.
Fiona Rogers, the Cultural and Education Coordinator.
So could we take down a box, or is
Yeah.
these... God, it really is just a collection of loose
It really
prints.
is just a random selection of prints, and as I say, these haven't been used in any meaningful way for probably 20 odd years.
And you really wouldn't have any clue as to what was in this box beyond the fact it says fashion on the outside.
No. I mean, I did a talk at the Photographer's Gallery last weekend, and I brought them in here and I said, okay, if I asked you to find a picture of Margaret Thatcher, how on earth are you going to, where are you going to look? You're going to look in the 20 boxes of London that we've got? Are you going to look in politics? Are you going to look in people? It wasn't always like this.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit more in disarray as the years have gone by.
Because it's not being used anymore.
Because it's not been used, it's not been maintained.
So how often does anyone come in here?
Very, very rarely. We use the fibre-based prints, ironically, even though they're the more, precious thing. We use them far more than we use the resin archive.
I run the very small cultural department in the London office. It consists of myself, Fiona Rogers, and we have an admin assistant. There's four offices, Paris, London, New York, Tokyo. Tokyo doesn't have a photo archive. It's the most recent office. Really, the key big archives were in New York and Paris in terms of the actual prints, because they were the oldest offices. They were the ones that were founded in 1947. And the archive consisted of a print archive created ostensibly for distribution of the photographer's images to editorial outlets or commercial outlets, which each office had a copy of. And then there were agents as well. There were always additional agents. So in places, in European countries, in Germany, Holland, Italy, we have agents who also have copies of Magnum prints, or had copies of Magnum prints. So the archive is quite big. And it's also a mixture of silver gelatin, obviously dating back to the beginnings of Magnum, going through to sort of resin-based prints, which are less pretty, but more practical.
So going back to the division between the different archives, is there much duplication between what's in London and what's in Paris and what's in New York?
I think there is, yeah. I mean, in Paris what's happened is the actual physical archive is now off-site. It's been moved to a storage facility where Magnum's exhibitions are kept. So it no longer uses as a reference. The idea there is that it will become a foundation and so it'll be preserved. In New York, what has happened is the majority of the print archive was actually sold 2 years ago now. But what is great is that it's being placed within the University of Austin, Texas, in a specially built building for reference and research. So that's a really, wonderful thing for the preservation of that archive, because Magnum doesn't necessarily have the funds to do that themselves.
These are all of the old vintage silver gelatins. Great deal.
So this room is roughly the same size.
Yeah, and it's certainly got less.
Yeah.
The fibre base.
But there's still an awful lot of prints here.
Yeah.
And the other thing you notice is that it's got the names of the photographers on each box.
And that's pretty much the only difference. Yeah, these are sorted into photographer code. Into photographers, just because of the way in which we tend to now utilise these is only really for exhibition usage and occasionally print sales. But this is much more of a useful resource to us, because if we're doing a Kappa exhibition, we don't have to root through 20 different boxes to try and find some good content. We just come to his box and we can draw the content from here. If we want to draw thematic content, you have to have a generalised knowledge about who's shot what kinds of stories.
It sort of says something about the use of the archive, that the old structure was organised by subject and the new structure is organised by author.
Yeah.
So how much is this room used as against the other one?
Far more. We use this for exhibitions in the print room. We use this for touring exhibitions. We might, make a pitch to a client. Vintage print sales tends to be quite popular now because people like the idea of provenance. They like the idea of buying a piece of history. With all the different stamps on and things on the back, they do tend to be, if they're not unique, then there may be only sort of six in existence.
Yeah.
And they're all slightly different because they've all got slightly different stamps. So they all become sort of precious in their own right. So this room gets used far more. We've also got some of the photographers' negatives. I think we've got all of Mark Powell's negatives.
Some photographers want to keep their negatives in Magnum, others don't so much. It's always been like that. Every photographer does their own thing. It's obviously easier for the offices if photographers had their negatives in Magnum, so that when an image was ordered, it could be scanned quite quickly. And whereas if a photographer may be away and if he's got his negatives, you're really in a difficult position. That's less of an issue now, obviously, with digital.
So all of that stuff that is the analogue means by which pictures were circulated in the past, has it become redundant?
Yes. There's still a lot of, and I think this is the same for a lot of agencies, there's a lot of print material still out there in circulation in news archives, because a lot of this material, though it was supposed to be returned to Magnum, didn't get returned to Magnum. It wasn't deemed as particularly valuable at that time anyway. So, for example, someone like Ian Berry, who worked a lot for The Observer, discovered he had a lot of prints still floating around The Observer archive, and there's a lot of work done to catalogue that and recover it. So that's an ongoing process for a lot of photographers who are working in the analogue period, and a lot of agencies who are trying to reconstruct, in a way, their archives from these old prints.
What's the value of that stuff now? Is it?
Well, as I said, we've got this move to create a foundation in Paris. So it's not only, there's a value, there's a very obvious value, a market value for well-produced, older silver gelatin press prints called vintage now. But ostensibly, aged images, aged prints with a history as an object as well as an image. I think there's quite a lot of fascination with those.
We're now in a room which is five times the size of those two storerooms, and it's very much more accessible. You've got lovely tables to sit down and look at things, and you've got great big print drawers.
We made an incredible investment when we moved from our old office into this room. The print room is as big as the office, so you can see by the sheer sort of square footage how seriously we're having to take print sales now. And that's because with the decline of other markets, photographers have to be reliant on different areas of activity, and print sales, collector's prints was one of them. We opened this space in 2006, and it's a really strong revenue for the photographers. And it's great for us to be able to have an accessible space whereby we can show, you know, some of the little gems that are in that back room that don't get seen very often. Occasionally a vintage print will find its way back in here.
Stamped. What's actually the difference between what's in here and what's in there?
There isn't. By and large, the stuff that's in the drawers have been consigned by the photographers.
Yeah.
And they're modern prints, and they're modern prints to sell.
Yeah.
And then occasionally, you know, a photographer might consign, you know, this was consigned by Elliot for the purpose of a collector who was interested in purchasing vintage Cuba prints.
Right.
So he consigned these. These are the ones that didn't get sold.
It sort of describes the changing history of the agency, that work was produced for reproduction in the past.
Yeah.
And now it's just as likely to be produced for exhibition.
Well, I mean, more work is exhibition and print sales now. Prints are not really produced for anything. You know, we provide scans to our clients. So when it comes to, it's very much the sort of art, the fine art, or the gallery sort of context that the prints are produced for. That's really the only way in which you're going to get to see Magnum prints anymore.
There's no repository of exhibition prints.
We have a huge store in Paris of exhibition material, less so in New York and in London. Exhibitions, it depends on the quality of the exhibition production. I mean, we actually recently decommissioned a couple of very large shows, which hurts because in a way you sort of think, and by decommissioning I mean the prints returned to the photographers or destroyed, depending on the quality of the prints. It's difficult to do that, but the reality is it's incredibly expensive to store. So there's not the, we don't have the structure yet to kind of preserve all of that. But I mean, I think the reality is half the shows wouldn't be held onto anyway because they're produced to tour. The prints are sometimes dry mounted onto things. It's more about the image. I mean, obviously quality is important, but ultimately it has to be practical as well as a show that can sustain a bit of a battering. So it's a combination. Some photographers hold on to their exhibitions, actually. You know, it depends on how they're produced.
So the physical archive, then, it probably is growing in terms of exhibition prints, but it's selective.
It's selective. It's never going to be at the rate at which the old archive was created. And obviously exhibition prints are larger than 8x10-inch press prints, so it's difficult to store them. It becomes quite expensive.
And what's the future of the archive?
The future is that the archive is digital, really, and that the physical archives will be available for cultural activity or research.
I mean, we're not an educational resource. We'd like to be, but we just don't have the staff, and we wouldn't be able to let people just, you know, rummage around in the back room for a couple of hours. It just wouldn't be practical. Someone would need to be with that person. Plus, without somebody there that knew what they were doing, you wouldn't get the maximum capacity out of the space. You'd need somebody there that could direct you. And Magnum's a limited company. We're not publicly funded in any way. All of our revenue has to be generated by commercial activity.
Do you get many requests to look through?
We get a few. We get a few. I mean, we're not the V&A.
Yeah.
V&A are set up for research posts, and they have, you know, fully accessible archives and fully accessible resources, and rightly so. You know, they're a publicly funded institution. Plus, the fact is that 80% of our archive is online. There is really, in terms of a research capacity, there was really no need to access that back room. Everything, pretty much 80% of that back room and the vintage, is digitised, is online.
If that room of old prints, unloved prints, is sitting there and no one's using it, is it just taking up space?
Probably. I mean, like I said, 80% of it is digitised anyway.
It doesn't have any function anymore.
It doesn't have any function. We keep it for posterity. We keep it for historical importance. But in terms of, I mean, we'd never chuck it out.
Good, I'm glad to hear. I was hoping you'd come to that.
We'd never chuck it out. Yeah. No.